That's a pity when I hold it. Ooh, 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 ooh. They say I'm no less.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. This is your community radio station, and next is Kitchen Table Conversation, followed at 7 p.m. by Keeping It Real, hosted by Arone. So stay tuned, folks. Again, this is Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary and Marcelia Postlewaite coming up.
Chest lately, so look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect, trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches, praying that I make it. Yes, still living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard, double temptation in my face. My kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth for death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change.
Hello, hello, hello once again. This is Mary and Marcelia with Kitchen Table Conversations. You're listening to us on KBOO 90.7 FM. How you doing, Mommy?
I'm okay.
So to start things off, I want to... hashtag Patrick Kimmins. I want to talk a little bit about him. I know him personally. To all of you out there who are listening, who are watching, we got your back. You know, hashtag Patrick Kimmins. What's going on is not right. It's wrong. We need to figure this out, folks. So for all of you listening out there, you know, put your hands in the air and give it up for Patrick and his family. Got to get out there and do something for him. I'm tired of the violence. So, we'll show you a picture of him here in a second on Facebook. Anyway, that's the homie right there. It's so sad. And if anybody's keeping up with the story, we all know what's going on, and you know how the truth is not being told in the media. So, you know, for those of you out there, they do know exactly what happened. Can we let the truth come out and hold the people accountable that are supposed to be held accountable? So I just wanted to throw that out there. I wasn't here last month, so I had a show set up, but it didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. So I'm trying to get it worked out this time to see, you know, hopefully sometime in later on in the show it'll work out the way it's supposed to and we'll have a guest caller. I want to say thank you to Jeff. How are you out there? I know you're listening. I had a good time with our meeting. I'd love to get together for coffee again sometime. That was wonderful. So to all of you out there, one of our listeners, Jeff, we met up and had coffee with me, him, and my daughter, and we had a good conversation. I found out a lot of things, actually. He's an artist. I love it. He's got some work out there that I think is wonderful. I would love to have coffee with you again, Jeff, and anybody else who would like to. So, okay, let's talk a little bit real quick about Marcelia's new job. Mm. So for those of you that know us, you all know that Marcelia no longer... is where she was before.
I don't think they do know that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like my mom said, I'm no longer at the ice cream shop, which is good. I'm very happy about that. I am now working for a place called Harvest Homes. It is an elderly facility, and so I caregive and I help take care of old folks and people who have Alzheimer's and dementia and, you know, just need assistance with living. Okay. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say, Mom. Yeah.
Okay. Folks, I will be getting... My caller just called me. Sorry, you guys. My caller just called me. He's not quite ready yet, so he wants me to give him a few minutes before he gets on the phone. He just got home. Anyway, so I brought up Marjalia's work, working with the elderly, because there is a huge need out there for more compassionate, is that a good word? Compassionate, useful people who can help take care of our elderly and disabled people out there. I hear the things that go on in assisted living homes and, mm-hmm. and things like that, and it bothers me, you know. And you really don't know until you've actually seen it for yourself, or you have somebody in a facility like that.
Right.
But it's those that really can't speak up for themselves is why I kind of wanted to bring it up. So I know that you've seen a few things, and you know, we won't say any names or anything, but. Can you tell the listeners just a couple things about the things that you see when you go in and have to work your shift?
Well, so I work graveyard, so I work from 10 to 6 a.m. And, you know, some people would say, oh, that's probably like the easiest shift. But to me, I feel like it's probably one of the hardest just because you have to be more aware of your residents and make sure that they're not sitting in, you know, their urine or anything like that for hours on end, and they're being washed correctly and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's been times where I go in and I have residents tell me that somebody hasn't been in here for a few hours, or, you know, I have people tell me stories about things that they've seen or rashes that they've seen because the lack of care that goes on. And it's really sad and it's really unfortunate, and I think a lot of people go into this job thinking a lot of them are going to be incapable of speaking out and look at them as if they're some sort of vegetable of some sort. And it's just really sad because I go in there every day and I look at it as those are somebody's parents, someone's kids, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, whatever you want to think of them as. And just like I have the right to be clean and want to be clean, they do too. And nobody should deny them that care, which happens a lot. And, you know, that's why people on hospice get, you know, bed sores and, you know, horrible rashes and UTIs and things like that, because they're not properly taken care of. And they're mistreated throughout the day. You know, I've had people tell me that employees talk bad to them and, you know, tell them that they don't like them and things like that. And it really hurts just to know that somebody can go into such a field where of care, of health care, and still treat somebody so horribly when they're there for a reason. You know, they didn't come here because they want to. They came here because they had to. And so when I go to work, I really enjoy the residents. I love them to death, and I really try and give them what they want and what they need. And so I have some residents, and they like certain things, and I learn their do's and the don'ts, so the things that they want and the things that they don't. And so I think it's really important for people who are looking to get into the caregiver field to really get into it, not just for the money, because it can be really good. You know, you can go really far in this field, but to go in it for the residents and really making a difference in those lives, because they're at the end of their life and no resident wants to go out the way that some of them have and be treated the way that they are when, you know, they've spent their whole life, you know, looking out for us and taking care of us and things like that. It's now time for us to pay our respects to them and do the same for them. And so I try really hard when I go to work to kind of leave whatever stress or anything I have. I can't even say at home, because, you know, there's been times where I go to work and I'm just, you know, not feeling it, and I just leave it outside of their door. As soon as I walk into that person's door, it's all about them. It's no longer about me. And I think that's just really important for people to know and really truly understand.
Yeah, I feel that. And it's true, you know. I don't see it firsthand. So I don't really, you know, I can't say that I've actually had to, like, deal with that with my own person. But I see when you come home and, you know, you talk to me, I see it in your face and I see it in your eyes. And, you know, I commend you for it, because, like I've told you many times, that's something I couldn't do. I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, there's certain things about it that I could do, but...
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, like, how are you able to do it? Because there's a lot of things, like, you have to do, like, right. Their hygiene and, right. You know, helping them with toiletries or, you know, toileting and things like that. And so there are those, like, barriers, you know, you kind of have to, like, overcome those things. But to me, I just kind of look at it as they're one huge baby. That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, who can walk and talk, but
right.
Still, you know, that's how I kind of look at it. And
right.
That's how it kind of helps, I guess.
Right. You're kind of born to be taken care of, just to take care of, just to get taken care of again. that's the way it goes. But yeah, so I kind of wanted to throw that out there, because it kind of bothers me whenever you come home and you talk about some of the things that you've heard or seen. And so I just wanted to let it be known that, you know, firsthand, for those of you who listen, you know, we need to pay a little bit more extra special attention and respect to our elderly and to the disabled. They're there for a reason, and, you know, we need to learn from them. So,
And it's also a huge field to get into. There's a lot of places that need caregivers already. So, if you're ever interested in work, you have to be 18 years old to do caregiving, but the training is very simple. And if you think that that's something that you would like to do or want to get into, then I think it's a great place to start.
Wonderful. Okay, so now that we've got that off the table, I want to throw out a couple statistics out there, because, you know, everybody knows about me, and they know about my life and what I've been through and the things that I've done, good and bad. And the reason, you'll find out in a minute, the reason why I'm throwing these statistics out here real quick. So I want to put out there that on estimate, 12.3 million men, women, and children are trafficked for sex or forced labor a year in the United States. Globally, it's 40.3 million victims, 81% in forced labor, 25% are children, and 75% are women and girls forced into the sex trade. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children believes that 1 in 6 runaways will be a victim of the sex industry, and that's 86% of those that are in foster care or some kind of, you know, social service care. Those statistics are awfully high. The city of Tualatin, the average age of victims introduced into the trade are 12 to 14. 70% are female. Everybody knows that, you know, I've worked in the sex industry. I worked there for a few years, so I wanted to let everybody know, you know, and kind of reiterate the things that are going on. I'm going to be having a call here in a few minutes. We're going to be calling somebody that I want to talk to. Sex trafficking is very fast increasing, becoming the most profitable business, basically, it is now, next to guns and drugs. It's like $150 or $50 billion a year industry. So it makes a lot of money. And, you know, fighting that, as with anything that you would fight against, as drugs, guns, sex, whatever it may be, it's hard. It's hard, and it can be dangerous. So, you know, in the U.S. alone, human trafficking, it's $32 billion a year. And roughly $28 billion of that is from the commercial sex trade. So, you know, that's a lot of money, a lot of money. And you know, I was out there getting it too. But at the end of my call, I will throw out a few numbers out there, so you can get a hold of some people if you need help. Are you there?
Oh, me?
Yes, you.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. This is going to be. Are we all here?
Yes, we are. We are all here. How are you? Audience, this is T.
How are you doing?
T is somebody that I've known for many, many years. And we have a child in common. In fact, my daughter that just had a baby, we have in common. So,
congratulations on being a grandpa.
That is my daughter, Marshalia. So, you know, I don't know if you're hearing it, but I had kind of talked a little bit before I got you on the phone about some statistics that I talk about, and, you know, kind of reiterated myself and you know, my past and things like that. So, you know, the reason why I have you on this show is because, you know, everybody deserves a second chance, right? And everybody makes mistakes in their lives, right? So, right. You know, just for those out there listening, I need you to know that this is a little, I'm a little nervous right now.
Everybody makes mistakes. I totally agree. Me, myself, everybody. But are they mistakes, or is it definitely?
They're not mistakes. They're lessons
right,
learned.
I totally agree. They're learning lessons.
Absolutely.
There we go.
For everybody listening, I'll be forward, and I'm just going to put it out there. Not only is T the father of one of my children, but I.
Well, listen to this.
What?
No, go ahead. Can somebody else? Are we on the internet?
You are on the air.
I'm no longer live.
We're not live.
I did have a live video going, but it's off. There's no more live going, so we're just on air.
It's just us.
Okay.
I'm here to say.
You can mix it up a little bit. Go
okay,
ahead.
I'm here to say that this whole show today is centered around, right. You know, being able to become somebody that we were, or somebody other than what we were. Now, in the past, me and T have had our run-ins. He used to be my pimp, if you really want to put it out there. And it's the truth. From what I understand, you're no longer doing that, are you? You're not in that life anymore.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not. Right.
You know, we're not going to get into any situations or anything like that.
Or any specific details. Right.
What I want to know is...
Oh, a little too much right there. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not too much. It's real. And it's the real truth. And it's not to hurt anybody. Right. It's not to put anybody out there. Like that. Okay?
And I wasn't knocking anything that me and you been through, or what I used to be to you, or whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You know what I'm saying? I still got to be careful over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but anyway,
I get it. I'm not here to do that. Okay.
I'm cool with all that.
What I want to know is, at what point in your life did you decide that it was not something that you wanted to continue to pursue in your life? When you decided that it was time for you to grow up?
Okay. Grow up or whatever.
Well, when you decided that it wasn't the right idea for you to maybe do that. I don't know how you would want to put it. You're not in the life anymore.
Okay.
What made you decide to not be in life?
Okay, well, sometimes things, Well, of course, you know, when I sat around penitentiary for 15 years.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I sat down, and once I reevaluated myself and my skills and the things I had the capability of doing, and maybe I was using them for other things I should have been using them for, then I realized I could have been more than I've been. And when I sat down, at first I wrote to court and I talked to people in prison, higher authority, because once you're 10, when you're in the game and you're young, you don't feel that you're good enough to talk to higher authority. But anyway, so yeah, around the penitentiary time when I started talking to higher authority, I knew that I had to communication and the skills, you know, to talk to people as we feel coming from the hood. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
Right, you know.
Okay. So what are you...
Sitting around messing on all my kids' lives and things like that. Well, everybody grows up, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was growing up or maturing. Everybody comes to time. So.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. I did a lot. So what is it that you're doing now? I don't talk to you on a regular basis, but what is it that you do with yourself now?
No, that's fine, Daddy. That's fine, Daddy. Listen, I buy some houses on a smaller level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing serious. When I get out the pen, I mean, I don't know my life story. They don't know my life story, but whatever.
No.
Right.
Your story's not for me to tell, so I only tell mine.
You have to come a time, okay? You have to come a time. I know what you're looking for. You know, when we're young and everything, we're running around and being a pimp. And as you say, when the girls are doing this, when it comes to some time, you say you grow up or something like that. It comes a time to where, you want to start being responsible and you start seeing bigger things, you know?
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, what else you want to know?
Well, I want to know, you know, basically how it is in your head now. I mean, I remember distinctly talking to you on the phone, and you had made a comment that kind of stuck with me. You said that you have a different respect for women, and
okay.
I want to know where that came from and how that came about.
All right. Respect for women, I guess I don't know how do you explain all this. All this can't be done in 20 minutes.
Just be real.
I understand. And you still don't know my concept and my view. My view has always been respected. It's just my respect was, I guess, looked at different than when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So respect that I had. Like, a lot of people still judge me for, like, they keep putting me back as you do. I'm not saying you are, but other people. Like, they're still dealing with 25, 26-year-old T. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's not the person I am. That's why I'm down in New Mexico. See, I ain't got to hold up to that standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when it came to different respect for women, I guess everything came to settle down when, you know, you got time to sit around. I sat around for whatever 15 years. And I read a lot of books, a lot of family books, took a lot of classes and all that. Seeing that I could do something better, and that it's just not women that respect, but just everybody else and myself. I'm just, you know, you said respect for women. Women's more respect for myself and them and everybody else at the same time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, just, I do.
Because as I was going through my game, I was disrespecting myself just as much as anybody else that I have following me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, when you take a time to sit back, that you waste a lot of time, even though people are in the race. You spend more time. You know, you think about going to work at the job, 8 o'clock, whatever. Yeah, you spend more time wearing yourself down trying to, you work harder. Can I say that? So when I find like I'm working harder, I need to be working smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I want to use my skills for something else, you know?
Right.
Right. You know?
And you know, I'll
women,
say.
Women. I a lot of things I've been through, a lot of things I did in my past. That I mean, I can't say I'm not proud of. I'm sure a lot of us are. There's a certain way, being a pimp or whatever, that you have to portray yourself. You have to act. That's probably why I drank a lot. Well, no, I know that's why I drank a lot. To smother the feelings and the emotions to go along with it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why a lot of pimps or whatever get off on their drugs and everything, because no matter what, the respect for women is still there. it's just that's why they get into stuff, because they want to smother the feeling or whatever, the guilt, the shame, the hurt or whatever, so they get into drugs and alcohol. That's probably why I drink a lot then. Wasn't this, that is why, you know, to cover that up. So, you know, as we go on, you know, we're going on.
I understand. So,
skies could fall, not even if my boss should call. The world, it seems so very small, 'cause nothing even matters at all. See, nothing even matters. See, nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters at all.
Your love makes me feel 10 feet tall. Without it, I go through withdrawal. 'Cause nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters at all. Nothing even matters. Nothing
even matters. These buildings could drift out to sea. Some natural catastrophe. Still there's no place I'd rather be. 'Cause nothing even matters to me. See, nothing even matters. See, nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters.
You're part of my identity. Sometimes I have a tendency to look at you religiously, babe. 'Cause nothing even matters to me. Nothing even matters. Nothing even matters to me. Sit it down, baby, baby.
Oh. Now you won't find me at no store. I have no time. Manicures with you, it's never.
Hello, hello. Are you back? Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So before, sorry about that. That was
no problem, man.
Completely on me. So I just have a couple more questions for you.
Okay. Listen, Mary.
What?
Mary, lay it down. Let me know what you would like to know. I'm here for you. Well, we can get the audience going. What do you want to know? Why people do what they did and how they changed or what they do? You know what I'm saying? What they think about when they were doing what they did? I mean, how do they really feel? I mean, like, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I wasn't going to get into all that, but if you really want to, we can. No.
It don't bother me. So
I was, you know what I'm saying? I'm more motivated that, right? on, you know, the change that was made.
Okay.
You know, right. We all know what... the motivating factors for prostitution and pimps and things like that. But
there's more to it than that.
There is more to it than that, but I wasn't trying to get into that.
What sparked the change? What sparked the right? It's like this. It's like when you live a certain life, I don't know, is it like an old toy? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, something is boring, so I got to, you know, I got to change. I think I do have kids, right? We have a kid. I have daughters. So then you don't think about how people perceive, or which is really not the perception of me, but there's still a model that you have to send even for your children, even as they get older too, astray or there. So to be the change comes from within. You know, the person, whoever that person was, was like pimping and all that, if that person was motivated, if he believed that it was a pimp or whatever, then he can sell that. So people have skills. So, you know, I just chose to use my skills towards something else. You know, that's it. And I'm coming to settle down to, like, you don't need to get the whole world at once. you just need to be able to sit back and smell the roses and sit there and enjoy whatever you have, you know, and enjoy life, you know. So a lot of things slowed me down, you know. Was it hard? Absolutely.
What do you think was the hardest thing?
Phone call yesterday, somebody trying to choose.
I can feel that. I understand.
Okay.
For all of you out there who don't know what that is, let me stop. Okay, that's I get that.
I mean, to move on and be able to, like, you know, get to me, you know, even as who I was and everything, it still hurts her because I still am who I am. But, you know, to, like, I say move on or do this or do that or I'm not with that or something like that, or even through a text or a message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It still kind of stings a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, because the opportunity is always there. But I do feel grateful and glad for the life that I have now and the way that I'm living it.
Good. What do you think that there's one thing that you feel maybe you still need to work on or something that, you know?
We know what that is, don't you? My controlliness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, being controlling, looking stuff from people's other, looking for people from other views, you know, looking at their shoes. Well, I'm more respectful now. You know, like once upon a time, the relationship was 99.9%. I'm pretty much 100%. Now it's even. So that's, you know what I'm saying? That's a change. And that's
that is a change.
You know, that's true for me. Right.
That
you know what I'm saying? People have a sight. You know what I'm saying? I'm open to, I guess, what it's called, this new word that I learned. It's called compromise. You ever heard of that?
Compromise. I know that word.
You know, it's called compromise, you know?
Right on.
You know, and, you know, I look at it like this. You know, I had a chance to live the fast life, but whoop, wham. I ain't tripping. Now you have a chance to live the square life. We can sit in the backyard, make barbecues, go to the grocery store, buy groceries for a week. All that's new to me.
It is all new to you.
All that's new. Tell me one time we went to the grocery store.
We?
Yeah.
Mm.
Never. I mean, everybody went to the grocery, but not like grocery shopping.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, like those stuff. To me, that's new, right?
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely, it is.
Right. And like, to me, that's new. That's like, and I kind of find that intriguing, you know, or like, you know, exciting.
Okay.
You know, little things like that. Just little square stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. I said, it's about 9, 10 o'clock. I'm about to go to bed.
I heard that. So where do you see yourself forward? How do you see yourself succeeding in being a better you?
Well, yeah, every day. I still go through ups and downs now. We all go through challenges.
Absolutely.
But as far as maintaining and succeeding, success to me is just as long as I'm falling out of trouble and living the path in the right way and doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, that success is really based upon money, you know, anything like that. So, my future holds, of course, success. I mean, I still believe in me. If I want to wrap it in Pimpin', or if I want to wrap it in Southern House, right?
Right.
I still have my charisma, my, you know, and all that. I just got to use it in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. So,
okay.
I'm all right.
Right on. Is there any questions you have for me?
And, you know, one thing that I did, me personally, one thing I did of anything I've ever done, I regret that really how mean I was in the past.
How mean?
How mean, yeah. It's very right, I'm supposed to say, idiotic, mean, and had no reason to be, because there were people that were dead, cut their left arm for me. And, yeah. So, yeah, that's one thing I regret.
Well, I don't regret anything.
I've done. There's nothing else.
I don't regret anything. I learned from everything.
Regret. I mean, I don't
yeah, I mean, that. I made some bad choices, but it'll be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end.
All the choices we make at the state of mind we're in.
Right.
You know, we're going through it now with the kids and other kids I have. They're like, why they give us up? You don't know what we're going through there. I apologize, but damn, you know, right?
Right.
Exactly, you know. So, And that hurts too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, you don't know where it's going to at 22, 23. Right? Was it right or wrong? Okay, yes. Wrong. But at the time, that seemed like the best thing to do or whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Is there anything that you want to say to the people listening?
Don't believe the hype, man. Just do you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't believe the hype. Just do you. I believe that every person should just be who they are. If they're happy with who they are, no matter what they do, as long as they're not hurting nobody or anything like that, just be you. So many people got to wear masks and costumes and pretend to be somebody else and satisfy everybody else's needs. We need to learn how to just be us.
Absolutely.
Come outside naked. This is who I am.
Right. Well, so, I will say that's not something that I would have expected to hear from you.
Well,
so that's
there's a lot that you don't know about me, and that's why
and that's okay.
I talked to you. Go ahead, we ain't going even tomorrow. I just talked to you the other day. Everybody wants to deal with the 25-year-old to me, just
I want to deal with the better part.
Right. Okay. Right.
You know,
right,
but to understand the better part, people have to understand, you know, the worst. To know the best, you have to know the worst.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And that's the thing I go through sometimes down here, because nobody knows who I am down here.
Right.
So it's kind of hard, because anytime I want to settle down, I want to be with somebody who knew the change.
Right.
Right. But I'm cool now. But you know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I don't, Miss Mary. Okay. I'm right here.
That's good. That makes me feel better.
I was like, if you want to talk, we can talk some staying up. We can do it right here. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah. Anyway, I appreciate you calling me and giving me a chance to be a part of your show and your progress and whatever you're doing, whatever you got going on. I'm glad to be a part of it. For me and you, as far as anything we ever been through, you know, I still respect the other woman now. I apologize if anything was done to you that was even wrong. We're in mature minds now. So we should be. I apologize for the love.
Well, I appreciate that a lot.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear the things that are coming out of your mouth. It's different, and it's very pleasant to hear those things from you.
Right. So. Well, you know, we do broaden our horizon, and we do think, you know, past what we were thinking. And so, yeah, things have changed, right? I mean, you know, of course.
Right.
Well, still talking, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you know that. I mean, I thank you for that, because, you know, sometimes it is hard to change, but, you know, you got to, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I tell people, like, you guys don't know. Like, every other word of my mouth is temp.
Yeah.
So, you guys don't know.
That's true.
I tell people, you don't know. I was like, every other word is temp to the track. Temp to the track.
That's true.
Right. You know, now to hear whatever.
You got my engineer in here cracking up. she's laughing, but it's the truth, though, and, you know, money.
Right.
They don't control. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
To sit back and to watch TV and, like, lay down, like, I don't know, homely life. I enjoy it. I'm always not going to be homely in a square life, but it's cool with me.
Right.
I got my little remote control cards I tinker with.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you letting me talk at you and ask you questions and revealing yourself on air. I appreciate that.
Well, that's no problem. I ain't got nothing to hide. And this is off the rip. This is why the thing is kind of choppy, because we just did this without no planning. So
yeah, it's okay.
You know,
it's all right. That's why I like life. That's why I like it live. The mistakes and the problems that go along with it, it'll be okay. So
yeah, that's fine.
I'm about to go to break. And I'll call you later. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Wait a minute. Now, you know I'm in a situation. Why are you even... Don't do this. Why are you tripping like that?
Well, I understand that, but your whole vibe is, you know, I can see myself being with you forever.
That's really beautiful. Kind of dig you too, you know that. We're friends, and I'm in a situation. I'm in a relationship. You know what that means.
And whatever I gotta do, I'll do for you.
You put me in an awkward situation.
Now what am I supposed to do? When I want you in the world,
want you in the world.
But how can I want you for myself when I'm already so absurd?
Now
what am I supposed to do? When I want you in the world,
want you in the world.
But how can I want you for myself when I'm already so absurd?
First time that I saw your boy, it was a
we're back. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary and Marjalia on KBOO 90.7 FM. So we just spoke to a gentleman on the phone named T. There are a couple things that some of it was a little hard to hear, but it was kind of a thrown together, you know. But I wanted him to come on because he was a major factor in my life in the past. And, you know, in the spirit of keeping my life an open book, you know, a lot of the fear that I had coming forward in my life was through him. And that's, you know, I don't say that lightly. Because, you know, for a long time, I was very fearful, very, very fearful of things to come. And, you know, but I can say now that I am a different person. I see life in a different way. And, you know, I want everybody out there to know that this show was 100% my idea. And I did it against, you know, other people's opinion, you know, that it was probably not a good idea for me to do it, but I did it anyway for a couple of different reasons. One, because to tell myself that it's okay for me to move on in life and not to hinder myself on my past. And two, that I pride myself on saying that, you know, anybody can be somebody else, you know, other than the negative that they were. And in order for me to believe that in my heart, I have to believe that about everybody. And as much fear as I've had in my life, and as much trauma and as much turmoil that's gone on in my life, you know, I don't want that to define who I am. And it will if I don't, you know, get it under control. Part of that is, you know, taking my negative thoughts and the way that I think and changing that. And since I've changed, I know that, you know, anybody else could have that potential. Now, I want to say that I appreciate that my daughter was able to sit in here with me tonight, even though she didn't feel that it was a good idea for me and my mental health and my well-being. And I understand that, but I feel like it was a good thing for me and my mental health and my well-being. And I'm sorry, Marjalia, that it upsets you.
It's not that I didn't think it was a good idea, but I know that you had to get yourself together for this show,
But that doesn't mean that you got yourself together for home. I'm the one who has to see what you go through there. And I'm the one who has to experience that nobody else knows what happens or what you go through behind closed doors. So no, I didn't think that it was a good idea for you to continue.
And I understand that. I do. But I just want you to know that it's done. And it's over. Okay? I paused the show for a reason. Okay? And as far as my mental health and my well-being, it's not going to carry over onto the home tonight when we go home. It's over. It's over. And it's done. Okay? I love my daughter very much, and, you know, she does a wonderful job taking care of me when I have mental health crisis. And, you know, it would be disrespectful of me to not stand here and say that it's okay for you to have a crisis of your own. And it doesn't always have to worry about me and my crisis. I love you.
I love you too.
And just know that it's okay. At least this time. I can't talk about tomorrow. Or maybe even later on. But right now it's okay. Okay? Me and my daughter have such a wonderful relationship. I love her a lot. And, you know, it's almost kind of like we share a soul. You know, we feel the pain that the other one has. And it's a very unique relationship. And a lot of people don't have that with anybody, whether it be their child, their parent, their grandparent, anybody. And so, you know, when she is upset, I take it very much to heart. Because, you know, she is very much a part of the positive light that goes on in my life these days. And a lot of times, if it wasn't for my daughter, Marshalia, my mental health and my well-being would have been gone. She keeps me grounded, you know, and so it hurts me to see her hurt, but in the same sentence, I need her to know that it's okay and that this is all a way for everybody to grow, you know. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, and I've said that a million times, you know. Can't say it enough, but I for myself cannot dwell on the negative things that have gone on in my life, and I have to, you know, put it out there, and I have to somehow, whether it be in my own head or on the air or wherever it may be, you know, it needs to be talked about and it needs to come out, because if it doesn't, it just festers, and that's what causes fear, and that's what causes the unknown. And so, as much as it may upset people, or as much as it may hurt me, or, you know, whatever, to talk about things, you know, it needs to be talked about. And for those of you listening, you know, have those conversations with your children or your best friend or your sister or somebody, you know, that you see is going through it. You need to have those conversations. It's real and it's out there. You know, I threw out some statistics before we spoke with T on the phone, and they're real statistics, and the numbers are high. And, you know, the things that I went through in my life, I blame nobody. I made my choices, you know, for whatever reason I made those choices. The choices that were made by me. And, you know, I can tell you all day long why I made the choices and what the situation was behind it. But the truth remains that, you know, no matter what, it was me that made that decision. And I live with that every day, you know. But I've come to terms with myself, and I've come to the terms with the fact that what has happened, and it's, you know, way back when. But it still goes on nowadays with other people. And so I want to throw a couple of numbers out there. Aside from 211, you can call them and you can get any number that, well, almost any number that you need as far as getting help. Lines for Life, you can call them. I'm sorry that I don't actually have the number on me because it's on the other paper. Be Free text line, if you don't want to talk, you can text Be Free to 233-733, and somebody will get back to you. You can also, I'm going to throw out another number, and I want you to write it down. It's 971, and it's a text number, 971-888-3648. You text the word TALK and your name, and somebody will contact you ASAP at the number that you call us or text from. So I'll throw all these numbers out again. The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-373-7888. Again, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888-373-7888. Be Free text line, text Be Free to 233-733. Lines for Life or 211. Those are two places you can get a hold of, and they have different resources for you. And again, the other number is 971-888-3648. Just text the word TALK and your name, and somebody will contact you from the number that you text from. So I hope that you were able to write those numbers down. You can always call the station when I'm on. Leave a message if I'm not here, and somebody will get it to me ASAP, and I will contact you ASAP. I put myself out there for people to contact because I understand how hard it is for people to ask for help, and I understand that some people don't think that there's anybody out there that will help them. And coming from somebody who's been there and who's done that, I put myself out there for you to contact me if you need help. And I'll get back to you and do whatever I can in my heart and in my power to be able to help you and better your situation in the best way possible, or at least find an avenue for you to better yourself. This is a real problem out there, especially here in Portland. Portland being the hub of the I-5 corridor. You know, it's kind of the gateway for prostitution. A lot of young men and women and children are from here, come from the Northwest, and are led into that life, whether by themselves or, you know, by another, however it ends up that they're in it. You know, this is a very major corridor for it, and we all need to keep our eyes and our ears open, you know, to the girl next door that you see leave every morning and go to school. And, you know, you saw some guy driving a car down the street yesterday, and you've never seen him before. Keep an eye on that young lady and her little brother or sister that walk to school every day, because that man that you saw in the truck that you don't recognize could be that one. You don't know. So I encourage everybody to, you know, keep their eyes open and keep their ears open. And I encourage everybody to talk about the things that are hard to talk about. You know, whether it be for personal, you know, whatever personal things your family goes through or something that you're going through in yourself, I encourage you to find somebody to talk to. Even if it's just to ramble and you really don't know what you're saying, you know, it's okay. There are people out there who will listen and that can help. And, you know, if you're somebody out there and you're the family or a friend of somebody you know is in pain or is in a situation, don't be afraid to tell them that you know. And don't be afraid to offer your help, because even though they might deny it, it'll keep that in their mind that you are there for them and that you aren't judging them for what's going on in their life, you know. So I just wanted to let that out there. And I guess I will talk at you guys next month. Is there anything you'd like to throw in, Marshaley, before we get off air?
Sure. I really just want to say thanks to you for being honest and, like, with me my whole life and telling me your story and who you were back then and just keeping it real with me and being able to express your story to other people.
Everybody has a story to tell. Make yours a great one.
It just makes me know how strong you are and how proud I am of you, so.
And I am of you.
I love you.
Together we're rocks. I love you too. And with that being said, I'm heading out and I will say goodnight and respect each other, respect yourself, love life.
A lot of stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach its age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord. Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sending in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches. Praying that I make it, yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard. Double temptation in my face, my kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth for death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change, the end of days is coming up soon. Raised to be a Christian, but was bred to be a goon. Was taught from the streets, but I never learned from school. Now it's time to pay my dues with my head held high. Cause in reality, we all just living to die. So I'm 10 toes down, trying to steer from my demise. Steadily claiming that I'm cool, but you can see it in my eyes. Hey, as time flies, I think I'm learning from my every move. To make it in this life, you gotta sacrifice and lose. That's the truth. If I'm lying, you can stop me now. I'm standing tall, so you can never ever break me down. God got me, you don't. You a lying, he won't. You a fake and he can't. And that's the friend that I want. You non-believers, I don't get it. You say he's a fraud. Yet every time you get in trouble, you say, oh my God. Would you die for everybody to have a clean slate? Or get beaten until we couldn't recognize your face? Now I don't think so. It's time to wake up and look around, because the devil's trying to take us. I know I'm not perfect, but tell me who is. You couldn't judge me if you wanted. Lead the judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the ignorant to listen. God gave me your word. Now it's time to do my mission. I don't get it. Is my pigment such a bad thing? Are we in our last days or a bad dream? This world is contribution so confusing and it's complex. We living just to die, so I'm wondering, am I next? Yeah.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Here and There, audio postcards from Earth on Tuesday, October 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. at OMSI in Portland.
Here and There, audio postcards from Earth is an all-ages and ability-inclusive event featuring nature sounds and field recordings in immersive surround sound from scientists and artists local and abroad from some of the world's most remote locations.
Listen to these places while sitting under the shifting stars from that time and place in nature's memory. Again, that's Here and There, audio postcards from Earth on Tuesday, October 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. at OMSI, 1945 Southeast Water Avenue, Portland.
More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Palestinian Film Festival, October 5th to the 7th, at the Fifth Avenue Cinema in downtown Portland. From Friday evening to Sunday afternoon, the theater will feature films by and about Palestinians and the Israeli occupation.
The Stones Cry Out, a film about Palestinian Christians, will play on Friday, October 5th. Then, The Wanted 18, about the nonviolent struggle in Beit Sahur and the herd of 18 cows that Israel deemed a national security threat.
The Occupation of the American Mind, Steadfast Hope, and more.
You can find a link to tickets for the event on KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Check this out, folks. It is 7 p.m. On your radio station, this is KBOO Portland. And next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
To my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box, hop it.